access from. This passage in Job 29 tonight is actually ties in well with this morning's message on being lukewarm, but also this, as we just sang, the roses have thorns on them. And oftentimes we proceed with life with the assumption that everything's going to go a certain way. And Job addresses that here tonight in Job chapter 29. So beginning in verse 1, he says, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, 'Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when his light I walked through darkness, and I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet I was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out. And I brake the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. And then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand.'" So, I shall die in my nest. Let's pray. Dear Lord, use your word now to teach and grow us, and may we just learn from Job tonight some things that would help us more effectively serve you and have the right perspective on life and trials. We pray that the Holy Spirit would guide our service, every aspect of it. May it bring glory to you. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So you can see that Job here is thinking back prior to this horrible trial that he's going through, or intense trial. And he's remembering what it was like when his life was pretty good from an earthly point of view. Now he does say there that he was also did his best to do right by God. And we know that he was a good man, because the Bible tells us so in chapter 1, doesn't it? That feared God and eschewed evil. And God himself even said of Job that there was none like him on the earth. And he talked about how he took care of the poor and the fatherless and the widows and the blind and the lame. When he saw someone that needed help, he helped them. He was just that kind of a person. And he said, things were good. The verse 3, the candle shined on my head. Verse 5, the Almighty was with me. Things were good. And yet, Job was really under the impression, if you want to call it that, that his friends had, and that was, if I will faithfully serve God, all will remain good. And I will eventually die in my nest. I will die of a good old age with my family around me, you know, like we all picture. Some people get that. Not all get that. But I shall die in my nest. I will live, and as he says, I'll multiply my days. I'll live to a good old age, and I'll die in my bed and with my family around me, and everything will be wonderful. Well, now he doesn't have any children. They're all dead. And he doesn't have his flocks anymore. They're all dead, which means he has no living. So what he thought was going to happen, at this point, he says, it looks like that's not going to happen. He says, I believed back then I said, verse 18, I shall die in my nest, I shall multiply my days. But he says, obviously, I was wrong. And I think that all of us can learn from this that we need to be careful that we don't have this misconception that life's going to go the way we think it's going to go. Because it may not necessarily. It may, and it may not, but that's up to God, isn't it? If we go to Hebrews 11, the great chapter of faith, there, I guarantee you, were people in the past who believed the same thing, that things would go a certain way because they loved God and they were serving God, but things didn't go that way. Now, in this chapter, and we're not going to look at the whole chapter, but as he's recounting here toward the end of the chapter, he talks in verse 33 about some of the amazing victories that were wrought through faith. He says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Well, that's pretty big. Wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Has anybody ever done that in this room? No. Quenched the violence of fire. And certain people come to our minds as we read these, don't we? Like the three Hebrew children and Daniel. Escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. None of us have experienced that, where someone died and a prophet came along and raised them from the dead. That's pretty amazing. And all these people said, wow, look what God has done. But then the list completely changes. And we must understand, as we continue to read this passage, the next list of people had just as much faith and faith in the same God as the people we just read about. But God chose for things to go differently. It says, and others were tortured. Same faith, same God. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. These all, verse 39, all, everybody we just read about in the whole chapter, the people that stopped the mouths of lions and won great victories, the people that were tortured and sawn asunder, these all having obtained a good report through faith. So they all obtained the same good report with their God, our God, through faith. But some of them didn't die in their nest. Some of them, their life didn't go the way they expected it to. We all want to live a good long life and have our family around us, and we want things to go a certain way. The first group got to see great victories. The second group, most of them died for their faith. And this is what Job is expressing to his friends. He said, I assumed that I would die a certain way. I assumed that I would die in my nest. And yet, how many times does the Bible warn us to not assume anything about the future? Let's look at another passage in James chapter 4 and verse 13. And if we can learn anything from this, it's we need to resolve that we are going to be true to God. We're going to trust God. We're going to be faithful to God no matter what He allows in our lives. Because a lot of times you meet Christians who have gone through intense suffering, and their response was to get angry at God and walk away from God. And that is definitely not the response God is looking for, is it? James chapter 4, look down at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell, get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Solomon said a similar thing, didn't he, in Proverbs 27:1. He said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So there's this misconception. Let's go to Hebrews 13 now, that because we believe that God is always with us, and He is, therefore things will always go well. But from an earthly point of view, they will go according to God's plan, but there could be some pain and suffering. Hebrews 13:5, we all believe this, right? Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So when people were burned at the stake during the Dark Ages, this is during the church age, Was God with them? Of course he was. Did he forsake them? No. He was there with them as they died. As they were tortured, he was with them. So we can't assume that life is going to go the way we expect it to. Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." The Lord never forsakes us. The Lord never leaves us. He never gives up on us. But we don't know what his will is for our life. We don't know what the future holds. Job said, "I had an assumption that I was going to die in my nest. I was going to die of an old age. All was going to be good because it was good." He said that, you know, the young would run because people had so much respect for him. And the elders would put their hand on their mouth. And everybody in the whole city respected Job as a great man. Where are all those people now? While he sits there in the ashes. All he's got around him are friends that are accusing him of deserving it. And saying his kids deserve to die. Where's all those people? And this is what, again, this misconception is everywhere, isn't it? If I'm just faithful to God, he will continually let my life go the way I want it to go. Maybe not. We don't know that. Now let's look at 1 Peter 4, where Peter had learned this lesson. I mean, Peter expected his life to go a certain way, and it didn't. He ended up in prison. He ended up beaten. How about Paul? All the suffering he went through. 1 Peter, look at verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." How often when a fiery trial comes into our lives do we say, "Well, this is off. This is kind of weird. This is strange." Peter says, don't have that response. When the fiery trial comes, don't think it's strange, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't think that it's a surprise to God or that it's out of place. No. God's allowing it. God has a purpose for it. And God still loves you and God is still with you. He's just chosen to try you. Verse 13, "But rejoice." So the trial's the same, but the response, one is to say, "This is strange." Another one is to say, "Thank you, Lord." Same trial, same God. It's all up to us how we respond. "Rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." Say, "Thank you, Lord, that I get an opportunity to just get a slight taste of what Jesus went through for me." That's what he says. "That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." So don't just rejoice, but have exceeding joy. James chapter 1 now, verse 2. I know it's a passage most of you know. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So count it all. There's that word joy again. Job said, "I thought I was going to die in my nest. I thought it was going to all go in a certain way. Now my kids are gone and my living's gone and my health is gone." Said, at this point, I was completely wrong about what I thought was going to happen with my life. We may be wrong too. But we have to understand it's not up to us. Amen? Let's go to Luke chapter 6, please, in verse 22. And we won't look at a whole bunch more. But Jesus here is warning his disciples that life may not go the way they expect it to go. Luke chapter 6, look at verse... we'll start at verse 20. "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor." Wait a minute. Prosperity theology teaches that there won't be any poor believers. But Jesus said, blessed. In other words, I'm not going to take away poverty. He could have. He's God. But he didn't. "Blessed be ye poor." So it's okay to be poor and be a Christian. That's what it says. "Blessed be ye poor. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep, for ye shall laugh." Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. Have we ever leaped for joy over anything, let alone when we get persecuted? Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. So Job is teaching us a beautiful lesson, isn't he? We can't assume that the future is going to go the way we expect it to go. He said, I did. I took care of the poor. I took care of the fatherless. I took care of the widows. I took care of the blind. I took care of the lame. Has any of us ever done that? Helped all those various people, seen someone lame, helped them, seen someone blind, saw someone that was poor and did everything we could. The fatherless, the widows, we've done everything we could to help anybody that had a need. Job said, I did that. And I was blessed. He said, when I went to the gate of the city, verse 7, when I prepared my seat, the young men hid themselves, the aged stood up. Imagine what must have been like to walk down the street and the elders stand up just out of a show of respect for Job. That's the kind of life that he had. The nobles held their peace. He said even the princes refrained from talking. The leaders of the town, the leaders of the region would even stop talking when Job walked by. And here I sit, he says, in the ashes with my children and my living gone. I thought I was going to die in my nest. And I thought I was going to live to a long old age. Now, of course, we know the end of the story. And we know that he actually gets this in the end, doesn't he? But he doesn't know this. And so we need to have the right perspective. That's the point of this chapter. Is not assume I'm going to die in my nest. How many people do we hear that die instantaneously of a heart attack? They die of a car accident. Some other accident. They don't get to have a deathbed. Not everybody gets a deathbed. Some people do. A lot of people don't. Are we saying that God loved the ones who do more than the ones who don't? No. That's not how it works. Did God love those ones in Hebrews that stopped the mouths of lions and won victories more than he loved the ones who were tortured and sawn asunder in hidden caves? No. He loved them all the same and never forsook any of them. But God gets to choose. He knows us. He knows what he wants for us. He knows his plan for us. And, by the way, we get to spend forever with him in heaven. Amen? So we can't presume, and I guess that's a good word, to know what God has for us next year, 10 years from now. We can't. That's just wrong to have that presumption. And that's why Solomon said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. That's why James said, oh, I'm going to go to do this and this and this. Said, you ought to say, if the Lord will. What if it's not the Lord's will for you to do that? What if it's not even the Lord's will for you even have the things that you have next year? We don't know. What we should do is say, I'm just going to trust God no matter what. And that's the key. And that's what we've seen in Job, isn't it? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Can we say that and mean it? Though God strike me down with sickness and with poverty, I won't stop trusting him. If God takes away my family, I won't stop trusting him. That's what Job's saying. And how beautiful is that? So in the next two chapters, Job will finish his discourse, his final discourse. And then the fourth friend who's been sitting silently for all this time, Elihu, has the longest discourse. We'll skip over some of it because there's a lot of rubbish in there. But he has the longest discourse. Then there's a discourse between God and Job. Now that will be really interesting. And then a very short discourse about Job's supposed friends. And then the end of the story. So Job said, I shall die in my nest. If we get to, praise the Lord. If we don't get to, praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word.